looking for the last month in the subject of finances, money, giving, wealth, goods, and we are coming to an end today, and everybody say, yay! But I want to make sure that the premise of all of these teachings start here. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. We're not owners, we are stewards. God owns everything, including you and me, and when it's all said and done, everything is his to start with. We have not created anything. It all belongs to the Lord. And you know, when we leave this world, we're not going to even take our own bodies, our physical bodies. You know, the bodies that we love so much and hate so much sometimes, right? The bodies that we pamper, the bodies that we abuse, they're staying here. It all belongs to the Lord. So if we keep that in focus and we realize that everything that we have, the Lord has provided for a season, then we don't cling so much to it. And that has to be an attitude that we have to adopt in order to please the Lord and do what he's called us to do. We have gone through many aspects of money, finances. I want to talk a little bit about attitude about money. If you truly love the Lord, if you are a born-again believer, washed by the blood of Jesus, belonging to the Lord, part of the bride, then there's some things that we need to encourage within our lives. First, if you truly love the Lord, you try your best to be faithful to him. As I said a while ago, we're not owners, we're stewards. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Jesus had a few parables that depicted stewardship. And in all those parables, there was a landowner or a king or a rich man that gave stewardship to those who were going to work with that stewardship and bring back gains to the Lord. And so God, the owner of the steward commended those who worked, increased, and labored with that stewardship. And there was at the end was a blessing to those that worked. And of course, you know what happened to the ones that buried the stewardship. It was called wicked and slothful, and we don't want that tag on us. So faithfulness is one attitude we need to have about money and finances. Willingness. We need to be willing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, Paul is talking to the Corinthians. And he says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So Paul is talking about the willingness of helping the ministry. So faithfulness, willingness, those two characteristics. And of course, if you're faithful and you're also willing, then you need to be ready. You need to read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The whole chapter talks about being ready to meet needs, to give. Faithfulness, willingness, readiness, and then systematic giving to meet the needs of those around us and the ministry that the Lord has called us to support. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul is giving instructions there. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. So Paul is encouraging some kind of systematic giving and even systematic saving, so that we give according to what the Lord has commanded us to give, and then save for those special times that the Lord impresses us with offerings to different things. So have a system. The Lord, the Bible also mentions some people that gave sacrificially. It was the exception and not the rule. And I'm just talking about the New Testament. Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was a tax collector. Jesus came to his house. He was so tickled. He started following the Lord. And the first thing out of his mouth was, I'm going to give 50% of what I've got. Wow. Now, he was rich. So he decided to give 50% of what he had. And then he said, if I have stolen everything, I'm going to return that fourfold, I believe it was. So that came out of a grateful heart, knowing what is truly riches. And so the physical riches stopped being that meaningful to him. And he started feeding on spiritual riches. And that's why he followed the Lord. Jesus was in the temple one day. He wasn't doing miracles. He just sat and watched as people gave in the offering plate. He does that still. And he noticed the rich people gave out of their abundance. But this little widow, she gave two mites, which was like two pennies in our vocabulary today. She gave two pennies, and that's all she had. And Jesus commended her before the disciples and said, you see all these people that gave a lot of money? This woman outdid them all because she gave out of her need. The others gave out of their leftover abundance. So sacrificial giving doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes the Lord asks us to do that. You know, we do it for family. Sometimes family, some of our closest relatives get in trouble. And we really don't have much to spare, but we'll do anything for, well, some of us do stuff. We do the impossible for our families. We really love them. Doesn't happen all the time, but at sometimes the Lord asks us to. Circumstances compel us to, and we need to respond. Now, in the Old Testament, we talk about the tithe that the Lord instructed the Israelites to give. We talked about three different tithes adding up to 23%, 23 1/3% per year. That was Old Testament. The New Testament has better promises. more grace. And therefore, if you notice, pay attention to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus brought the Old Testament rules and regulations, and he expanded on them and said, there's more now for us to do than what was required in the Old Testament. Well, why would we think that in all areas except finances? Tithe, the 10%, it's just a good place to start. And once we taste and see that the Lord is faithful, as we sang about, then we don't have any problem getting even above the 23% that the Old Testament was required to give. It's a process. I mean, we don't start there, but we need to grow. The Bible also instructs us to give in secret, in a humble manner. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes and all of that. Matthew 6, 1 says, Jesus is saying, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, that tends to contradict, in a sense, the way we take tithes and offerings here on the church. It's in the front, exposed to everyone. And I know some of you would rather not be seen putting anything there. That's fine. But then there's the act, I don't care what men think. I'm going to give unto the Lord, whether I've been seen or looked at or not. I do it out of my heart. I do it out of my gratitude towards God. I do it out of worship. And see, we're not ashamed to be here together and raise our hands before God, stand up and sing out of worship. Then I wouldn't mind also giving in the congregation as part of my worship towards Him. So faithfulness, willingness, readiness, systematic giving, sacrificial giving, secretly and humbly. And then there's a scripture here that talks about faithfulness. If you're not faithful with money, then God cannot entrust you with the true riches. In Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus is saying, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. And then he says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon money, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? What are the true riches? Those are spiritual things. Ministry, gifts, works, things that the Lord consider of higher value than the riches that we consider so important here. He's after fruit. He's not after being impressed with our wealth, because it's His. Because of the importance of stewardship, then we need to avoid a few things. First of all, we talked about it, it's not our money, We are only stewards. Therefore, do not love it. Scripture has a lot to say about not loving money, because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And when you do love money, you will bring upon yourself all kinds of trouble, as Scripture talks. Don't trust it. Money can become an idol. And we don't want to be idolatrous people if we are truly born again. Therefore, don't seek to be rich. Nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing wrong with becoming rich. But don't seek to be rich. That's not what the world thinks. That's what God says. Now, there are many ways to acquire wealth, money, but there are some things that we need to avoid. Don't steal. Don't steal money. Don't steal things. Don't steal at all. In Amos chapter 8, verse 4, the Lord is addressing the people of Israel through the prophet Amos. He says, "Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, 'When will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat?' Their desires are making money. They don't care about the Sabbath. They don't care about the feast. Get done with that feast so that we can go back to business and doing our trickery. Don't steal. Beyond not stealing, don't exploit others. Some people have a habit of waiting till people are very desperate, and then you exploit them. Well, I'm saying you, somebody out there, hopefully none of you do that. But sometimes we take advantage of people in need to get profit ourselves. Let's not do that. Don't defraud. In James 5:4, James says, "Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." We make promises. We sign contracts. We need to honor those things. Don't defraud anyone. You promise, you agreed on, follow through. In fact, the Bible says, it's better not to swear at all than to swear and not follow through. And then there is the subject of gambling to get wealth. And you know, there's really nothing said about the gambling that we're talking about here in the Word. However, you know, I know that all of you have probably at one point or another went to a 7-Eleven and got you a ticket for a buck or something, you know, especially when the lottery was millions. And you said, "Well, what's a dollar?" And so you got it. Maybe you bought it as a present for somebody, thinking that that was going to bless them. Saying, "If I bless him with a ticket, maybe the Lord will bless him with making something out of this ticket." Once in a while, out of the blue, no real get rich quick intent. I wouldn't say it's a sin. I would think it would be a waste.
but not a sin. It's a waste of resources. You can spend that in something that would bless the person if you want to give it away, or just save it for some other real need. But the problem with gambling is usually the intent behind is, I want to get rich quick. And you stop trusting God and you want to trust in whatever you're gambling with. Your abilities, your luck. See, you are departing from the faith. You're trusting in other things rather than in your God who meets all your needs. And you're following after riches, which the Bible condemns. So, if you find yourself buying too many lottery tickets or visiting the gambling place quite often, check your heart. Check your motives behind it. Then how to spend money? Well, first thing I want to say here is you need to provide for you and your family and those around you. In 1 Timothy chapter 8, Paul tells Timothy to instruct his congregation, says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He who knows that God is faithful, we were just singing about it. And he said he would provide all for all of our needs. And we talked about one of the ways God provides for our needs is gives us the ability to work. Then if we won't work, then we have become worse than an unbeliever. We don't want to be there. So, provide for your family and those around you. Secondly, pay your debts as soon as you can. Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Don't be owing people, especially just to indulge in things that are not need but wants. So get rid of debt. We talked about that some. Save money. We talked about saving, preparing, so that when there is a need, you have what it takes to help out. In Proverbs chapter 30, starting in verse 24, God mentions the ant, the badgers, the locusts, and the spiders to give us an idea that they don't need leadership. They only need the skills that God has given them and us to save and to be ready for hard times. Proverbs 30, verse 24 says, there are four things which are little on earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. They get ready for winter when there's no food out there. Verse 26, the rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. Leda loves them. They are everywhere, especially in Florida. Spiders, they're skillful. And scary, right? Yeah. So spend your money wisely. Gambling is an unwise expenditure of money. Now, you're not going to, again, you know, balance is everything. You don't want to become a tightwad where you don't want to spend a penny. You don't want to drink a soda because you burp after that. You don't want it, huh? You don't want to give out anything. We don't want that. Let's look at some of the obvious purposes of giving that the Lord had instructed us. We're almost there, guys. Hang in there. We're going to be short today. One of the purposes of giving is to support our spiritual leaders. In 1 Corinthians 9:11, Paul starts saying, if we have sown spiritual things to you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endured all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul is saying, we deserve to be given wages or money and finances and goods because we are giving you spiritual nourishment. But so that you don't think I'm after those things, I have never asked you Corinthians for anything. Yet he's saying it's the right thing, as you will see. Verse 13, do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings at the altar? In the Old Testament, the priests brought the offerings, and they were burnt offerings, and some of them were burned before the Lord, and part of it was taken by the priest for his family because he didn't have a secular work, so he depended on the gifts of the people to sustain his family. Verse 14, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So, one of the reasons why the Lord has commanded us to tithe and give offerings into the storehouse is so that those who are in charge of spiritual matters and teaching and feeding would get benefit of it financially. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, Paul instructs Timothy, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So we give so that the ministry can continue, and those who take care of the ministry can be sustained by the ministry. We want the church to support its function and its mission. So we want to minister to those in need, especially in the house, and those that are Christian. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And the church should be a place to where someone in the body is in need. Here we are as a church, and part of our responsibility is to help financially if there's a particular need. Financial need. So That's why we bring our goods to the storehouse so that we can have resources when we need them and when the people within the house needs them. And then we need to meet other people's needs. God gave, and so we're called to give, not just to the people that have our same thinking, but we are called to help anyone in need out there. Hebrews 13:16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Not only does it make you feel good and fulfilled when you give, it blesses God. And man, when God is blessed by what you do, you always get benefits out of that. The timing of giving. Well, your tithe should be separated every time you get an increase. Your salary, you get gifts. We choose our best time to offer it on Sundays during corporate worship because the Lord wants us to be conscious of our stewardship during worship time. And so if we acknowledge that all belongs to the Lord and He has made us steward, He has required that some of that stewardship gets back to Him. Not for His sake, He doesn't need it, but for us to realize that we depend on Him and we do what He says. Give your 10th or 20 or 25 or whatever. Give offerings. And so Sunday morning on worship time, I worship the Lord with tithes and offerings. As far as offering to anybody else beyond the tithe, we ought to give them whenever the opportunity shows up and we're willing and ready. We studied the issues of the heart before we talked about finances and money. We spent a few Sundays dealing with issues of the heart. And we know that we in our heart may have a lot of good things and then not so good things also involved in there. If you have a tender heart for giving to the Lord and to others, then you will prepare and you will give. But if you don't have a giving heart, then when you give, if you give, does not profit you like it should. I think we read the scripture that said not to give grudgingly or out of necessity because God loves a cheerful giver. So be content. Don't do it because people force you. I don't like to preach much in this subject because people think that that's all I'm after. I don't care about your money. It's not for me. But I want all of us, because I know by experience that when I am faithful with finances to the Lord, all my needs and most of my wants are taken care of. So if you don't have a giving heart, you don't profit when you do give. And if you don't give, if you are really a believer, then you are robbing God, which is a worse plan than giving grudgingly. Malachi 3, I think we read it. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? And God responds, in tithes and offerings. Ask the Lord to expose your heart to you. There may be giving issues in your heart that you may have to deal with. If you do, you discover that there's issues in your heart and you don't want to deal with them, then according to Malachi 3 verses 8 and 9, you are cursed with a curse. Trust me, I don't want to live a life under a curse from God. I mean, God established the rules. It's not that God is there pushing a button. It just works automatically. I rob God, I fall into a curse. How can I rob God? I don't give him what is his. He claims the tenth to start with. And then he asks for offerings. And that was in the Old Testament. Settle it in your hearts. First of all, God owns everything. Secondly, we are stewards, not owners. We won't take anything with us. Thirdly, God has given us specific instructions about his stewardship. We saw the parables that Jesus brought. You follow those instructions and you will be blessed. Remember how those parables ended? Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." See, we don't have to start with joy. We don't have to give so excited. But we do it because that's what the Lord wants. And he says, joy will follow. When we are obedient, joy is one of the rewards. So what does God really want? Too many rules. I have to do this, I can't do that, this, that, and the other. Somebody asked God, you know, they went to God in Micah. The question was asked, what does God want? If you want 1,000 bulls, I will bring 1,000 bulls. God said, no, I don't want that. Will the Lord, Micah 6, 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil as offerings? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? And we all had them. And then the Lord responds. Well, the prophet quotes God. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly? Do what is right. Do what is proper. What he has commanded. The things that he has told us, that if we do these things, we shall enjoy abundant life. Our needs will be taken care of. He has given him some things that he said, you must do, you must act. And then he says, to love mercy, be generous, be forgiving, extend grace, give for those that are needy, real needs. And then to walk humbly with your God. Very simple. The more we learn, the more we realize how much grace God extends. And because he has extended grace towards us in this new covenant, That's why he let us know that I expect more of you in the New Testament grace than I expected from those people in the Old Testament. Money and finances shouldn't be something that we treat different from anything else. It all belongs to the Lord. He has put parameters for us. And he has said, I will bless you when you are faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord because you are faithful. Father, I thank you for giving us instruction, plenty of instruction, regarding goods, finances, money, possessions. Father, you want us to have possessions, not for possessions to have us. And Lord, you made us in your image. You saved us. You redeemed us. And you want to build your character in us, the character of Christ. Lord, you are a giver. You gave. You love the world so much that you gave. And Jesus came and he gave and he gave. And you want us to be a giving people. Help us, Lord, to deal with issues of the heart that holds us back from being in your image. Help us deal with them. And Father, help us to become your people that exemplify your character in every area of life, including finances. Lord, we thank you. I ask blessing of everyone, on everyone in this place and those hearing through the podcast. And Father, I pray that the abundance of the riches of God may become part of all of our lives as we're faithfully giving as the Lord has instructed. I bless you people and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. If anyone needs ministry, I'm going to be here for a little bit. God bless.